Back in John 13. John 13. When the Lord Jesus wanted to wash Peter's feet. Verse 9, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he that is washed, that means a new birth, needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And you are clean, but not all. Judas wasn't clean, of course. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, you are not all clean. So after he washed their feet and had taken his garments and was sat down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done unto you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, wash your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. So we too can wash one another's feet. And we don't want to talk about ourselves tonight, but we certainly can refresh one another. And that's the forest when he was in Rome. He sought the Apostle Paul out very diligently and found him. And when he found him in prison, he ministered to him. He washed his feet. Doesn't mean literally washing anybody's feet, but encouraging him and ministering. See, most people think feet washing is for correction. It's for refreshment. Sometimes it's for correction, but most times it's for refreshment. And the Lord Jesus washes his saints' feet by the washing of the water by the word. So that's one of his mediatory offices. Also, he is another ministry, yes. He's the head of the church, not the Lord of the church. No. He's Lord in the kingdom. He's the head of the church. Now, what do you get from the head? Well, we had a lovely meal, so we get nourishment from the head. Not only that, we get direction. The head tells my feet and my hands what to do. So the headship of Christ gives us nourishment. It gives us direction. It also gives us control, because sometimes we get out of line. We have to be controlled. So he's the head of the body. He's the head of the assembly. The lordship has to do with the kingdom of God, not the head, not the church of God. So how wonderful that is. So he has a headship ministry. He's the head of every man. And how wonderful that is. Next, he's the Lord. And that's in the kingdom of God. So not only are we in the assembly, we're also in the kingdom of God. And the Lord Jesus is coming back soon. And what you do for the Lord Jesus unselfishly determines your position in the world to come in the kingdom. Of course, he's also my Lord. He's your Lord, personally. That's how wonderful that is. We confess him as our Lord. And he's going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords in the soon coming day, and we thank God for that. Also, he's the minister of the sanctuary. Look at Hebrews chapter 8. Now, this is not intercession, this is representation. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1 and 2 and 3. Now, the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of a throne of the majesty in heaven. The word A is not in the Bible. It's just capital M, minister of the sanctuary. And of the tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. You say, well, I thought he already offered himself to God. Yes, he did. He offered himself on Calvary's cross. Yes, he did. But what is he doing now? Offering. He takes all of our prayers and praises and expressions of adoration, he offers them in his acceptability. He adds his sweet perfume. He adds the fifth part, as it were. He must have someone to offer. Now, this is not intercession. This is representation. Look at chapter 9 of Hebrews, verse 24, just to further this thought. For Christ is not entered in the holy places made with hands, which are antitypes or figures of the truth, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God, in the face of God for us, as the minister of the sanctuary, to represent us right in God the Father's presence, offering our praises and sacrifices and his acceptability. That's what, one of his mediatorial offices. Just one or two more. The book of Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13, verse 20 and 21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, will make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So he is the great shepherd. He has a shepherd ministry to gather. Some people come in and scatter the saints. The Lord Jesus gathers, and especially the young. How wonderful. He was the good shepherd giving his life for the sheep. He's the coming chief shepherd, but presently he's the great shepherd. That's the mediatorial office of our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus. Let's take advantage of his present ministry there in the glory. Just one more, and that's in 1 Peter 2, verse 25. For we were sheep going astray, but have now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of our souls. Not only is he our shepherd, he's the bishop. He oversees the flock. The brethren fail, you and I fail, Jesus never fails. Isn't that wonderful? We can say that Jesus never fails. How faithful he is. So these eight mediatorial offices in which he functions now that he's back in heaven with on God the Father's throne. So take advantage of the Lord Jesus' present ministry. It's how wonderful. And if you do that, you'll be more apt to be in the Spirit on the first day of the week. The next point is in Romans chapter 8 about being in the Spirit. Romans 8 verse 9. Romans 8, we might start with verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, because you're unsaved. In Romans, if you're after the flesh, you're not saved. Not so in Corinthians, but in Romans, if you're after the flesh, you're an unsaved person. But to have the mind of the Spirit is life and peace, that's a saved person. For the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither need can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God because they're unsaved people. But you're not in the flesh. The believer's not in the flesh, positionally, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, and every believer has the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, having believed the gospel, having trusted Christ as our Savior, we are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. But now, the next verse is what I want to get, next part I want to get to. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, that's not the Holy Spirit. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's not of him. You say, what is the Spirit of Christ? Look at first Philippians chapter 1,